The Supreme Court today heard oral arguments in one of the most important cases of the term. At issue, whether the state can use the power of eminent domain to take someone's property if that property will then be sold to another private landowner. Joining us to discuss the case is Slate and Day-to-Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick, who attended this morning's session at the court. And Dahlia, the case today comes from New London, Connecticut. What are the details?
Essentially, this came down to a fight about a little neighborhood called Fort Trumbull, Connecticut, Madeline. It was a small, depressed neighborhood with a city that had grand ambitions for redeveloping it. The city decided to sell a huge plot of land to the Pfizer pharmaceutical giant and then go ahead and develop a marina, hotel, condos, health club, you name it, in an area that had a couple of very cute little old Victorian cottages, and at least seven families just refused to sell to the city. The government decided to exercise their eminent domain power. That's a power that they have under the Fifth Amendment to take land or property from people as long as it's used for public use and as long as they're justly compensated. The question in this case became, is it public use to take land from private citizens and turn around and hand it over to big developers? Traditional eminent domain cases involve the building of railroads and of bridges, taking of land to give to utilities company. The question is, does a marina come in under that notion of public use? The Connecticut Supreme Court said that's a fine public use, and so the good citizens of Fort Trumbull appealed to the United States Supreme Court.
And what were their main arguments?
Well, their main arguments of the homeowners today was essentially that you just can't take my private land and give it away to a big developer just because you're claiming it's going to improve the tax base, and then that becomes somehow a public use justification. The attorney for the homeowners argued, look, every single home, church, corner store, and 99-cent store would of course produce much higher tax revenues if they were replaced by Costcos and shopping malls. That can't be a justification for taking all those people's homes away.
And what did the city argue?
The city said this is no different than any of those other takings cases involving railroads or bridges or public utilities, that these seven holdouts are essentially standing in the way of progress. They're standing in the way of an enormous economic boom that would help all the citizens get enormous tax revenues. And there was an amazing moment where he actually pulled out a chart to show the court what the development plan was, including the marina and the health club, something I've never seen in 5 years of watching the court. His other big argument was that, look, courts can't micromanage legislatures. Legislatures make these calls about whether or not this is a valid use of eminent domain power, and courts can't get in the business of saying, okay, that's valid and that's not. This is something we have to defer to legislatures to decide for themselves.
And Dahlia, another case the justices agreed to hear, a potentially landmark case involving Oregon's doctor-assisted suicide law. Tell us a bit about that one.
That's right. That was the big cert grant this morning. This is a case that they actually won't hear until next October's term starts. But the court did agree to hear a case that is part of sort of John Ashcroft's personal challenge to Oregon's physician-assisted suicide law. Oregon is the only state that has a law like this. It's called the Death with Dignity Act, and it allows physicians to help terminally ill patients end their suffering. John Ashcroft has tried to hold those doctors liable, and the Ninth Circuit sided with Oregon and the doctors that John Ashcroft and the federal government cannot be in the business of telling states that they can't have physician-assisted suicide laws. The Supreme Court agreed to hear Ashcroft's appeal, and as we often know with the Ninth Circuit, sometimes they agree to hear these appeals simply to reverse the Ninth Circuit.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick, who writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thanks, Dahlia.
Sure, Madeline.
Thank you.